Read in English. Avec Araps, yes you can. Copyright Larousse 2016. The Canterville Ghost. Mr. Hiram B. Otis, an American minister, is moving to England with his family. He buys a large country house called Canterville Chase to be their new home. The previous owner, Lord Canterville, warns Mr. Otis that a ghost lives in the house, but this announcement doesn't seem to bother him.
Before you buy this house, Mr. Otis, I must tell you that it is haunted. I come from a modern country, and we're not afraid of ghosts.
A few weeks later, Mr. and Mrs. Otis arrive at Canterville Chase with their four children. It's a lovely July evening, but as they approach the house, the sky darkens and rain begins to fall. An old woman dressed in black is waiting for them on the steps. It is Mrs. Umney, the housekeeper.
"Welcome to Canterville Chase," she says.
They follow her into the house to have tea in the library. Mrs. Otis notices a strange red stain on the floor. She asks,
"Did someone spill something there?"
Mrs. Umney replies in a low voice,
"Yes, madam. Blood was spilt here." "How horrid," cries Mrs. Otis. "Please remove it at once." "It cannot be removed, madam," the housekeeper replies. "It is the blood of Lady Eleanor de Canterville, who was murdered here by her husband, Sir Simon de Canterville."
"What a monster! Was he punished?"
"Nobody knows. Sir Simon disappeared mysteriously 9 years after his wife. But his guilty spirit still haunts this house."
"Leave it to me. Some Pinkerton's Champion Stain Remover will clean it up straight away."
Washington begins to rub the stain, and in a few minutes, the blood disappears. Suddenly, a terrible flash of lightning lights up the room. Mrs. Umney is so shocked that she faints.
What awful weather they have in England!
The next morning, the stain is back. Washington cleans it again. But it is back again the day after that. Mr. Otis decides to lock the library door at night. But the stain still comes back every morning.
"It must be the ghost."
"I'm beginning to think I was wrong to deny the existence of ghosts."
One night, Mr. Otis is awakened by a curious noise.
"It sounds like someone is in the corridor."
He gets up, puts on his slippers, picks up a small bottle from his bedside table, and opens the door. He finds himself face to face with a skeletal old man with long grey hair and eyes burning red in the dark. Heavy chains hang from his wrists and ankles. It is the ghost of Sir Simon de Canterville.
"My dear sir, I really must insist that you oil those chains. The noise is simply dreadful, and it is quite impossible to sleep. Take this bottle. It should help."
With that, he puts the bottle down on the table and goes back to his bed. The ghost is very cross. He smashes the bottle on the ground. Suddenly, a door opens and two white figures appear. They throw a pillow at his head.
"Good night, Mr. Ghost."
Feeling disheartened, the ghost returns to his room.
"I have 300 years of experience,"
I have scared lots of aristocrats to death. I have had a brilliant career, and now these Americans dare to throw a pillow at me and oil my chains. This is unbearable. How can they treat a ghost in this manner? It is so vulgar. I will teach them a lesson.
The following night, to give the twins a good scare, the ghost decides to appear as the character of the Headless Earl. He prepares his costume carefully and is very pleased with the result. At midnight, he approaches the twins' room, where he finds the door ajar.
They must be asleep,
he thinks.
Now for my revenge.
When he pushes the door open, a bucket of water falls down. The bucket just misses him, but the water pours all over his costume. He is soaked to the bone. The ghost catches a very bad cold and has to stay in bed for a few days. When he's feeling better, he gets ready to make another attempt to frighten the Otis family. First, he will visit Washington, who annoys him by removing the stain every morning. Mr. and Mrs. Otis will come next. And then, just a small scare for Virginia, as she is gentle to him. He is saving the twins for last. He will paralyze them with fear. Not long after midnight, the ghost makes his way quietly down the corridor to Washington's room. He suddenly stops in fright. Right in front of him is standing a horrible spectre. Sir Simon has never seen a ghost before. Terrified, he runs back to his room as fast as he can. At dawn the next morning, he's feeling a little braver. He decides to go back to talk to this ghost.
He could help me beat the Americans. Two ghosts are better than one, after all.
But when he returns to the place where he saw the apparition, he can't believe his eyes. It wasn't a ghost at all, just a silly doll. Those twins tricked him. Feeling very discouraged, he goes back to his room. The ghost becomes quite depressed and gives up all hope of frightening this rude American family. The family thinks that he has left the house. Mr. Otis goes back to working on his book. Mrs. Otis organizes a party that is a big success. The boys spend their time playing games and sports. As for Virginia, she spends her days riding her pony, accompanied by her admirer, the young Duke of Cheshire. One day, after her pony ride, Virginia goes upstairs to change. To her surprise, she sees the ghost sitting quietly by the window. He looks so sad that she goes over to talk to him.
What's wrong, Sir Simon?
I'm tired. I'd like to die and finally be at rest. Please help me.
Virginia is very surprised.
How can I help you?
Did you read the prophecy in the library?
Yes, it says, when a golden girl can win prayer from out the lips of sin, then shall all the house be still and peace come to Canterville. But I don't know what it means.
It means, replies the ghost, that you must pray with me for my sins.
Virginia is silent. Suddenly she looks up, very pale, with a strange light in her eyes.
I will pray for you.
The ghost takes Virginia by the hand. His fingers are as cold as ice. He leads her to a wall and mutters a few words. The wall disappears like mist, revealing a great black cavern.
Quick,
quick, or it will be too late.
In a moment, the wall closes behind them, and the room is empty. It's tea time, but there's no sign of Virginia. Her family and the Duke of Cheshire spent hours looking for her. No one can find the young girl.
It's very late. Let's go to bed. Tomorrow I will call the police.
It's midnight. Suddenly Virginia appears at the top of the stairs looking very pale.
Virginia, where are you? We were so worried.
Papa, I've been with the ghost. He's finally at peace. Before he died, he gave me this box of beautiful jewels. Come, I'll show you.
Virginia opens a secret door. Behind it, there is a little room with a tiny window. A skeleton lies on the floor, attached by a chain to a huge iron ring. Virginia explains,
"This is Sir Simon's skeleton. He was locked up by his brothers-in-law to avenge their sister. They left him here to starve to death. I prayed for his sins, and God forgave him."
4 days later, a funeral is held for Sir Simon. Lord Canterville comes specially and is joined by the entire Otis family. When the ceremony is over, Virginia lays a cross made out of blossoms on the coffin. She hardly speaks a word on the way back home. A few years later, Virginia marries the Duke. After their honeymoon, the young couple visit Canterville Chase. Virginia places some roses on the ghost's grave.
"Thank you, Sir Simon. You made me see what life is and what death signifies, and why love is stronger than both."
The Duke kisses his wife lovingly, and they walk back to the house, hand in hand.